would like to thank the participation and presence of all of you in this event. Happy Mac São Paulo, together with the teleconference for results of the fourth quarter of Eucatex. I am very proud to be here. For those who don't know me, I'm the Vice President of APIMEC São Paulo, and shortly I was talking to Goulart about this willingness to have a teleconference together with APIMEC São Paulo. I'd like to welcome you all. So let's present the results of Eucatex for the fourth quarter. I would like to make some recommendations. The participants that are in this event are being recorded, and after the presentation, we will begin the Q&A session. And on that occasion, we will give more instructions. If anyone is connected by phone and needs any help during the conference, please request help by dialing *0. The audio is also being aired on the web on www.eucatex.com.br. So before we begin, we'd like to clarify that any declarations made that may be made during this teleconference concerning the business perspectives of Eucatex, projections, goals, are beliefs only of the board of the company, and also information currently available. They involve risks, uncertainties, assumptions, because they refer to future events and depend on circumstances that may or not happen. Investors should understand that economic conditions of the industry and other factors may affect the future performance of Eucatex and bring about results that may be different from those that have been mentioned. Once again, I'd like to thank you all, and in order to avoid interference, please put your cell phones in the vibration mode. Eucatex is part of level 1 in corporate governance in BMF Bovespa, and now we will pass the floor to Goulart, and Goulart will continue our presentation. Thank you. Well, good morning. Thank you very much for participating in our third APIMEC, the third consecutive one, and we consider this initiative as being very important. It's a way of really having more transparency in our activities, showing our strategy, and being closer to the market in this way. If we could make a summary of this year, we will be able to show to you during this presentation, the company Eucatex itself had positive results. We had growth in our revenue. We improved our EBITDA margin. We improved a lot our EBITDA margin concerning generation of reais, local currency. But our expectations were not only Eucatex, but many companies this year had a certain frustration in relation to their expectations. This was a year that certainly, this is common in the companies, did their planning at the end of 2010 when there was euphoria in the market and everyone had great expectations for 2011. And 2011 became a year that is a little lukewarm in our sector. We had events, specific events like strong inventory adjustments in the furniture industry. We were influenced, our sector was influenced in a negative way with the macroeconomic measures, with credit restrictions. But as I said, even with this adverse scenario, the result we had was very satisfactory. Well, let's begin our presentation. Well, I'd like to begin the presentation with two slides. For those who know us, it's a little repetitive, but let's talk about the company. Ilcatex was founded in 1951. This year, 2011, we turned 60. We're celebrating our 60th anniversary. We have four plants, one inaugurated recently in 2010, the MDF-HDF plant. Basically, our focus is furniture industry and civil construction. Resale is also for the furniture industry, selling to small shops, and we have export activity. This is coordinated through a subsidiary we have in Atlanta in the United States. We have 73 farms of eucalyptus, 46,000 acres of eucalyptus. These are very important for sustainability. Most of our activity involves forestry products. We have 2,430 employees. And then we will explain this year, we had a growth in revenue of 12%. Nets had a variance due to an increase in exports. It grew 13%. And in the last quarter, we had a variation of 7%. Also, giving information, basic data of our four plants, beginning with a fiber board unit in Salto, São Paulo, 771 employees, 240,000 cubic meters of capacity. And so this plant is interesting. If we were to talk about two aspects of this plant, first I would mention, as most important, it produces wood board, but they are produced without the need to add glue or resin. For many times, our competitors, and during this presentation, in our case, this was one of the villains of the year with a substantial increase in cost. So this is a very competitive plant. You don't need glue to manufacture the boards. Here we have a lot of verticalization in this plant, and this makes us different from the competition. We manufacture here doors and panels, not only based on fiber boards, but also based on panels produced in our new unit, which is the HDF-MDF plant. This is a new plant. It's here on our right. It was inaugurated in October 2010. We're still in the ramp-up process. We will talk about this plant in more detail later on, but also I'd like to stress some positive points of this plant. The great specialty, the great productivity it has is in fine board. MDF is a product that is very well known in the market. We call it HDF. HDF is a board with more density and it has a premium. Normally, the cubic meter is sold for twice the price of the MDF. This plant is one that is highly specialized in producing very thin boards. We can make thin boards with the same productivity of the thick boards. And of course, we opt for the thin one due to the premium. Then we have the MDP and laminated flooring in Botucatu. It's a unit for 430,000 cubic meters. This capacity is used to manufacture MDP panels and also for flooring. Flooring, 6 million square meters. And here I'd like to stress a characteristic. I can mention that this is the only plant in Latin America and one of the few in the world where it's possible in the manufacturing process of MDP, laminating also decoration paper. So the board comes out of the press ready. Our competitors, after manufacturing the board, they need two other processes. They, in order to put decorative paper on it, ours comes ready. Also paints and varnishes. This plant is not based on forest products, but it supplements our activity. It is well inserted in civil construction, where we work in finishing. So paints and varnishes, it supplements our strategy to sell flooring and doors. And today, with a great responsibility in terms of revenue, paints and varnishes are responsible for 22% of the revenue of the group. So a very important unit. I don't know where I have to aim this pointer, laser pointer. Okay. Well, before we talk specifically about the performance of each product, let's see how each one contributes to form our revenue. As we saw, our revenue in the fourth quarter grew 7%. And in this graph on the left, we have the composition of the revenue. What we'd like to call your attention to two aspects. The growth in the participation of HDF from 4 to 17% in the two periods. And the second, I believe this is one of our great challenges. We had an expressive growth in thin boards, HDF. We won important market share in this area in the same period last year. Now, talking to the fourth in the same period in 2010, our participation in the market was zero in HDF. And at the end of the year, in thin boards, 22% market share. This was very important. And a goal, an important goal that we reached, very important for us. What happens is that part of this market that we won in thin boards, we had to give up in fiber boards. So our challenge this year is to recover this volume in the market. On the right side, we have our revenue by segment. And here, a very interesting point, we are different from the majority of our competitors. We have a great balance between the furniture industry, which is the focus of the competitors, but we have a strong presence in civil construction. Half of our revenue comes from civil construction. On the bottom part, at the bottom of the slide, we have the different usages, the different products that the company has, and its presence in the different segments. In the furniture industry, we have panels, the three or four types of panels used directly. In civil construction, in general, also the same panels, but used in an indirect way. We have fiber boards and HDF, manufacturing doors and panels. We have MDP being transformed into laminated flooring for civil construction and the paints. In exports, basically, we export fiber board, 94% of the volume is exported. And in resale, we see the strong presence of HDF, which explains this growth that we had. We went from 3% to 7% resale, and this due to our HDF panels. Okay, beginning talking about fiberboard. As we mentioned, and we will see this in the next slide, fiberboard suffered a little because of the introduction of HDF in the market. What we adopted in a preventive way in order to avoid flooding the market with board and bringing down the price, we did two things. First, we stopped using fiber board for panels for divisions. We began to do these with HDF. And the second, we increased strongly our export activity. With this, we had two effects. We reduced a lot the revenue from fiberboard. Year after year, we saw a drop of 20%. This drop in revenue doesn't necessarily mean a drop in margin, percentage-wise in margin. If we compare, obviously we have these numbers internally, if we compare the percentage of margin in fiber, last year, this year it's aligned, what we have is a difference in price, and it's easy to explain. For example, panels are sold at 2,500 reais cubic meter. A board that is exported is sold for 1,000 reais a cubic meter. Therefore, there is an expressive, significant difference in revenue. But together with this, we have other costs. The profit margins on these panels, percentage-wise, and export are very similar, but the difference in revenue is large. The profit is the same. So this is the explanation for this large drop in revenue. Concerning volume, we see here a lower drop, 10%, because what we did, we took this volume that we did not sell in the domestic market and sold them in the export market. As I said, this is one of the great challenges we have this year to this material that is being exported to sell once again inside Brazil, because the profit margins in the domestic market are better than in the export market. Capacity usage, we produced roughly with the same rhythm, and therefore our inventories, we have some inventory, and once again, the challenge of our sales area, and we're very well prepared for this, is to sell this product in the domestic market. One interesting aspect here is thermal energy. All the thermal energy of this plant, and also the next one we will see, HDF, is generated from recycled material, the thermal energy. This is one of the also one of the advantages of our plants. Well, this is our new plant, HDF MDF, inaugurated, as I said, at the end of 2010. We see that we're still in a learning phase, in the learning curve. We estimated many times. We showed this to you as information many times. We understand that we have a two-year ramp-up to reach the full installed capacity. We have been increasing. We had a little drop in the last quarter. This plant is very different from the others in Brazil. It has technologies and equipments that are very different and very innovative. We had some problems in the fourth quarter during this learning curve, learning to manage the equipment. This equipment is there to reduce cost and improve productivity. We had some difficulty understanding this new machinery, but now these problems have been solved, and now we're ramping up production and also increasing usage. An interesting piece of data I'd like to mention, market share. As I said, we began the year, or in 2010 at the end, our market share was zero, and we finished the year with 22% market share in fine boards, thin boards. We separated thin boards because we're interested in this part. This product is sold for twice the price of this one here. Our participation is discrete in MDF, or very discreet, and we intend to leave it that way. We might grow a little, but our great focus is in thin boards. We can't compare with previous years. It's a brutal difference. The last quarter of 2010, billing was 10, now 50, from 10 to 50, the billing, and our billing was almost, our turnover almost 190 million in 2011. Well, I had written some notes. Many people are concerned with the installed capacity of the sector. We see that there are many competitors building new plants, and there is we should have during this year of 2012 and beginning of 2013 three new production lines. One line should begin in 2-3 months and the other two at the end of the year and mid 2013. So it's worth the while for us to look at the markets. It's not here, but I made a simple calculation. The growth of MDF in these last few years. And in the next slide, we will see the MDP market. These products are, they compete in applications. MDP and MDF are very present in the furniture industry, and they're very close. One substitutes the other in furniture. So if we make a calculation, an average of the growth, we'll get to 9-10% growth. 9-10% growth in the consumption of wooden panels. Wood panels. This market, MDF, 3 million cubic meters. The MDP market, roughly the same. So we have 6 million cubic meters in consumption. That's the consumption in Brazil in 2011, domestic consumption. If we apply 10% growth a year, 600,000 cubic meters of growth every year. 600,000 cubic meters is more than a new plant. So if we can talk about the future, if we continue having this type of growth, if we continue to have the same growth as in the past, we will need one or one and a half plants per year. So these three new plants, I believe, won't cause any problems. I believe they are necessary, yes. They will be necessary for us to supply the market. Of course, if the market doesn't grow, we'll have excess product, excess inventory. Well, the last point in this slide, the resin, it is very important, as I said. This, for example, fiberboard don't use resin. MDF is more common. Resin is important. MDF and resin was one of the great villains in the year. The price went up a lot, especially in the last quarter when we had the currency problem. This year, it's behaving better. I believe we will have a better year. But last year, we had pressure on our costs due to resin, price of resin going up. Well, I'd like to change here. Let me see. MDP now. MDP, for a long time, we have been working at maximum capacity. We have no surplus capacity. You can see 82-83%, but the same press, I don't know if you noticed this at the beginning of the presentation, the same press that makes MDP does a substrate for flooring. So the difference in this total, the maximum is, the ceiling is 92-93%. These 82-83 are for producing HPP, for making flooring. So this plant has an excellent usage. What happened this year? Much more because we directed part of the production to flooring. We had a drop in the volume placed in the market, but on the other hand, in spite of the drop in volume, we had higher revenue, which means that we were able to recover prices year after year. So last quarter, we have expressive growth in revenue. So this market is doing very well, and it's interesting to talk in general about Eucatec's strategy. You saw in the previous slide that our market share is around 20% in HDF. Here we have a market share of 10% in MDP. We have important market shares, but market shares that allow us to have an interesting economy of scale, but at the same time allows us not to have the pressure of selling large volumes. In this way, we can work on our strategy. Our strategy is differentiation, identification of market niches, and added value. So our great desire, and we have been able to do this with a market share of 11%, we try to grab the best 11% of the market, the 11% that have the best prices, 11% that really want quality products. When we look, these are the statistics. Eucatec in 2011, 97% of the products we sold. This is something that we stress, are finished products. 97% of what we sell has finishing. Our marketing department did research, surveys, some type of paper or standard that is exclusive of Eucatec. And this brings a great proximity with our clients. Our strategy is very well aligned with that of the clients. And the rest of the market, only 21% of what the market sold has finishing. The rest is commodity. And commodity, we know, is a product that is the same. All when vendors have commodity, there's an auction. We try to avoid auction and low prices. We try to have a niche market developing products that really have added value. Well, let's continue. Laminated flooring. We had a very good year. I believe that if we could mention a great challenge we have in laminated flooring, it would be to consolidate the market share we obtained in 2010. If we look here, the growth in 2010 in relation to 2009 was 41%. So we made a great progress in the market. The challenge was to consolidate and avoid having the competition taking this back. We were successful in this. Once again, on a smaller scale, we grew more than the market. So we consolidated our position. We consolidated the market share we had won. Now, concerning price, we grew 8.4% in volume, and here 11% in revenue. That means prices, we recovered price. Prices were higher. And concerning installed capacity, it has been growing, the usage of our installed capacity, and in line with the growth in volume in the market. Here I'd like to call your attention to two points. First, you will see in the investments, in the list of investments, we're installing a new flooring line. We will double our capacity in producing flooring. 6 million meters, we're going to 12 million meters. We're doubling the capacity in flooring, working with close to 74% usage, and with the growth rates, I believe at the end of this year we will not have any more surplus capacity. And the second point, we intend to expand different products. We want to expand our line of click. Click is a type of laminated flooring that is installed without any type of glue. One is fitted into the other. It requires more machines. That's why we invested in new lines. Another interesting thing is happening now these days in São Paulo in Transamerica Hotel or Transamerica Expo Center. we're having an exhibition. It is for these products, ceramic, flooring, all types of flooring. We're there with our laminated flooring. And in this fair, in this exhibition, we're bringing to Brazil, after 3 or 2.5 years looking for this product, we're bringing to Brazil vinylic flooring, vinyl flooring. If you look, the finishing is like wood. You have to touch it to see that it's vinyl, that it is plastic, because it looks exactly like wood. We signed a partnership with a Japanese company called Tajima, a very traditional company in manufacturing flooring with fantastic quality, and it's at the exhibition at the fair, and we're beginning sales. I know from our sales department that we already have some sales, and I'm sure it'll be a great success, and it will supplement our laminated wooden flooring. Well, paints and varnishes, as we said until now, we talked about many products, but all based on forest products. This one here has nothing to do with wood or forest products. On the other hand, it fits perfectly into our strategy of selling civil construction products. We work in finishing. We're not in the concrete. We don't produce cement. We don't produce iron. We produce products for finishing, paints, varnishes, flooring, doors. This year, we changed our strategy. If we look here, we can see that Eucatex, on this graph at the bottom, Eucatex had growth that was higher than the market. This was our strategy in order to win scale in our paint activity. In 2011, our strategy was to attach value to our products. So we improved margins, we repositioned the products, and consequently, we went after better margins, better results for activity. This made us have a flat growth. We had stability in relation to the previous years. But what we can see is that our strategy, our search for better profitability, was a success, because in the year we don't have a growth in volume, we have stability. On the other hand, we have a growth in revenue, 9.5%. So we reached our objective, which was to reposition our product in terms of price, and this strategy worked very well and continues working in the fourth quarter. Well, I didn't call your attention to this aspect, but we see that later on you can see in your material, we see that labor is not very important in the production of paint. Paints, the main costs are raw materials. You have to buy well the raw material when you produce paints. This is the starting point. It is fundamental to have adequate costs, to buy material with a good cost. Even with this stability, the market had a discrete growth, very different from the previous percentages of growth. 2011, as we said, surprised us. It did not reach our expectations, and in the paints market, we can see this. We can see that with lower growth than in previous years, our market share is 7-8% in this market. 7-8% market share in paints. With this, we'd like to conclude the information concerning the performance of each product. Now, I'd like to talk rapidly. This is also information about sustainability, because a good part of our revenue, 80% of our revenue, comes from forest activities. This year, we planted 5,000 acres of forest. This makes us self-sufficient for all our activities, for all our plants. When I began the presentation, I said we have almost 46,000 acres of forest. they are very competitive. In Botucatu, 38 kilometers, Salto, 94 kilometers, very good and very competitive. Other interesting aspects in this slide. First, productivity. We see that it's impressive. It's not only in our company, but we can see here the increase in productivity of eucalyptus. This productivity makes Brazil one of the most competitive countries in forest products, in our case, wood panels, but the same applies to pulp. These are real data from forest that was harvested in 2010. After 2010, we have expectations based on surveys. Another interesting piece of data, this year of 2011, we made investments and we automated, we mechanized all the harvest. Before that, we had to harvest the trees with chainsaws, and we can say it was almost manual harvesting. We bought equipment for mechanized harvest. It was a tremendous success. First, much safer than cutting down trees with chainsaws, but the main success was the return on investment. The amount we invested in a year, we have already had a total return on investment, a very good investment. This is another exclusive thing that is exclusive to Octex. We have recycling. As I said, it guarantees the generation of all the thermal energy in two plants, in fiberboard and HDF. Thermal energy comes from our waste. Everything that is waste, pallets, boxes, crates, civil construction, wood, through large containers that bring us this waste wood. We have an excellent logistics because the value of this product is low. And if you pay too much for freight, it becomes unfeasible. So the logistics are challenging, but in reality, we are very successful in generating thermal energy with waste. In 2012, we're concluding investments to expand our capacity to use recycled material. So we will improve the cleaning of recycled. A pallet, for example, has nails. And materials used in civil construction have plastic or cement on it. When we take this material to the plant, we have to clean it. We have to eliminate nails, plastic, dirt, cement. And for this, we need cleaning equipment. We're investing this year in new equipment. And in 2012, we will use not only recycled material to generate thermal energy, but also for the production of boards in the production itself. Here, we'd like to make a calculation. If we were to buy this wood in the market instead of using recycled material, it would have cost an extra 5 million reais. So this project has the environmental side, but also an economic result that is very relevant for us. Okay, let's change the slide. Okay, well, I don't want to talk about these issues. There are some things that, some indicators that we believe are relevant, and although they are not our numbers, it's good for making forecasts. One of them is credit. It's evident that the availability of credit is fundamental for any activity. If you don't have credit, it's difficult to purchase things. So we don't have projections, but we have them. Credit has been growing in Brazil. There's more credit, and the expectation is to continue with growth, maybe at a different speed, but credits will continue. Another interesting aspect, more in our activity is real estate credits. This is not new to you. It's interesting to see how it is small in Brazil after all this boom that we saw in civil construction. So real estate credit is not very significant in comparison with other countries. And here we collected two other pieces of data here at the bottom. These are interesting. The first has to do with the number of homes. Here we have information from between 2010 and 2011, the growth, 1.1 million homes per year. That is the growth. The same study from Getúlio Vargas Founders says that this growth should double. So this really makes us very happy in terms of the activity in civil construction. In this study, we see that there are expectations for real estate credit going from 4 to 5% of the GDP to 11% of the GDP in 2014. This is below Mexico, very much below Chile, but it can make a big difference if we double the construction of homes in Brazil, especially for our market. Another two indicators, these are two sources of financing for civil construction. We see that there is expressive growth, FGTS fund, which is an employee fund being used as credit, and also savings for middle-class homes, both of them with good perspectives. And here we have a projection. This is from Tendencias Consultancy Company. This growth should continue in the future. Well, this is the last part on indicators. This is something that we follow. In Brazil, we have many things that are lacking. So the demand is always there, and there's scarcity in some areas. So we also need offer. In the furniture industry, we have abundance offer, new plants, so we don't have any problems, neither in demand nor in offer. Now, for a purchase to occur, apart from these issues, we need credit. And we mentioned this in the previous slide, the existence of resources. These resources, it's shown that they have been growing because wages are growing, and it's necessary not only to have available resources, but to be sure that these resources will continue in the future. And this can be guaranteed with labor and also trust. Okay, I have a job, the feeling that I have a job, I will continue having a job so I can take my money and purchase assets. These are indicators that we see are very positive, consumer trust and wages. So looking at these indicators, they all go in the right direction, very positive. So in a responsible way, we have a positive view of the future, seeing consumer trust in this position and also wages, because we work in civil construction and furniture industry. Well, here we have data from our company, specifically from our company. We have four graphs. The first, very interesting, expressive gains in productivity that we have had in all these years. 14% revenue, our revenue per employee, for CAGR, 14%. Then on the right, administrative and sales expenses in relation to turnover. We know that it was dropping as of 2006. We had a problem in 2009, a very difficult year for all. And now, once again, we're close to the lowest points in terms of expenses in comparison with revenue or billing. Also, gross margin and EBITDA, we can see here, in general, we have better gross margin, better EBITDA, and always with the problem in 2009. Here we'd like to stress a point. Those who do detailed analysis will see that there is a leap in gross margin. Our auditors recommended and we changed the calculation of gross margin. There is a calculation called forest assets, the variation in the biologic assets. This is the following, comparing forest inventory at the beginning of a year and at the beginning of another. There's an evolution in the biological inventory. So this versus the price in the market gives us this. This was our auditors recommended that we include this in gross margin. Thus, we had a quantum leap from 32 to 37, 35%. But I would say that this value was present, but not in this account. We can see that there is a small drop in gross margin from one year to the other. We can say that this is due to the following. First, we had a lot of pressure on cost. We mentioned resin, but we also had a lot of pressure on the cost of paints and chemical products. Apart from this, our HDF plants with the growth phase, it is contributing a lot for our results in reais, in local currency. 186 million in billing that it added is an expressive amount of money. On the other hand, in percentage, the activity is a little below the other plants. Since we're working with 50% of the installed capacity, we have 100% of the employees to run the plant, but we have 50% usage. Some variables, like the price of glue, are not at the ideal phase. So although the new plant is contributing with reais, it is putting pressure on our margins. I don't know. That's the difference between 2011 and 2010. But this will change, definitely change in the future, because we will begin to use more of this plant and use better our labor, manpower, and we will learn to use in an even better way the equipment. Here we have a summary of financial data. After everything that we mentioned, there's nothing new here. We see growth in revenue, net revenue, 13%, a little higher. We see the issue of gross margin with a small drop, as I mentioned, especially due to cost issues and also some points associated to the fact that we're not using the new plant to its full capacity. Administrative and sales expenses are growing, but dropping in relation to revenue. And two aspects I'd like to mention here. First, the non-recurring events. We had two important events in 2010, 2011 that influenced our results. The first in 2010 was the sale of property. It's a reforestation farm in Itu that we sold. It's a farm that we decided to sell because we are selling by square meter, not acres. So it didn't make sense to plant in that area because it's very valuable land. So we sold it, and we had an important result. This result, 50 million, which influenced a lot last year's numbers. This year, in the last two quarters, in the third and fourth quarter, we had a liability. We had a contingent liability in relation to taxes. We compensated them in 2006. These taxes were compensated, and the auditors recommended that we create a contingent liability if we have to discuss this with the IRS. 5 years went by, there was no discussion. So 5 years later, the IRS has no longer the rights to assets. So we wrote off this accrual, $24 million. So we took this off our books, this accrual. Also, financial expenses, this was higher, this reduced our profit. We'd like to say that financial expenses are basically non-cash, in the sense that it's an adjustment of the positions, you know better than I, of liabilities linked to foreign currency. We know that at the end of last year, we closed with 88, now 1.8 in terms of exchange rate, and this year we have a drop in the exchange rate. Well, investments, this year we had a lot of investments. We came from another year where we made many investments in 2010. We concluded the new line. In 2011, also heavy investments in our strategy of not selling commodity. What did we do in 2010? We invested in many lines to take these new HDF panels or MDF panels that are being produced and adding value to these panels. So we invested in finishing lines. We invested heavily in the new flooring line, paint line, and we put together a new plant for doors and panels. We doubled our capacity in doors and panels. I will take here, let me see, 4.8 million units. To give an idea, we can produce almost 5 million doors per year. This is an expressive amount, and so Ilcatex is the largest manufacturer of doors in Brazil. We have an enormous leadership also in panels. We made these investments, heavy investments. Another investment that I didn't mention, we're a little late, or very late, according to our initial project. We are building a paint plant in the north of the country, Pernambuco. You can see that we have surplus capacity in our plant in São Paulo, the paint plant. But we started a plant in the north of the country to sell water-based paints in the north. We don't want to transport water from São Paulo there. So the water-based products we will produce there, and the more added value products with solvents we will manufacture in Brazil. Thus, we also increase our competitiveness in the Northeast. We know that this market has grown more in the last few years. To avoid transporting water from São Paulo to Pernambuco. So we're investing in this new paint plant in Pernambuco. Also expanding our capacity for cleaning recycled material to use this to manufacture panels, recycled material to make panels. And here, information for 2012, we're reducing the volume of investment. From 150 million reais in investments, we will go down to 90 million reais in investments. And here, talking about debt, we closed the year with 250 million reais in debt, with EBITDA 1.2 here, as you can see, not very leveraged in comparison with other companies, not only in our sector, but also looking at other companies in the stock market. It's not very leveraged. This growth in debt we can attribute to this aggressive investment program that we had. So it would be natural to have this growth in debt. We understand that in 2012 we will reduce our level of debt for two reasons. First, we will reduce the volume of investments from 140, 150 million to 90 million this year. Second, a better usage of our lines. After all, we invested in a new HDF line, a new paint line, a new doors and panels line. This should bring growth in revenue and cash. if we associate this growth in cash generation, I even mentioned this in the previous slide, to last year, the year before last, 2010, 20% EBITDA margin, this year, 21. So with cash generation, 186 million, sorry. In compared to, I'm going back, compared to 159 million last year. So 30 million more in cash that we generated more in relation to 2010. We understand the our expectation is to have more cash this year because we have less investments. And we understand that our debt should go down in 2012. So we mentioned in the conference of the third quarter that we will have debentures to increase the time we have to pay debentures to increase time we have to pay our debts. I don't have all the information, but they are closed. We closed this yesterday. We should sign them between today and tomorrow, a formal document, debentures. Thus, we will elongate our debt, which is low, which is low in comparison with the market average. But we see there will be pressure, so we have these debentures that will give us more time to pay these debts. Well, this slide is the last. This is the last slide comparing our behavior, the behavior of our shares in relation to the stock market. And on the left at the bottom, making a comparison of our multiples. And since you know the market much better than us, you can see that the multiples are more modest when compared to companies, even companies that are in the same segments as ours, multiples. So we understand that Eucatex is at a time when it is very well positioned. Now we will begin to reap the results of the investments made, and I believe there is a great potential, really, to increase its value. So I'd like to thank you all for your attention, and now we will go on to the Q&A sessions. So now we will have the Q&A session. Thank you, Goulart, for the presentation. Brilliant presentation, covered all the points. As I said in the beginning of our meeting, I am very thankful, and I believe all the participants also appreciated this opportunity to be here physically and also through telephone and webcast, sharing this results teleconference and also participating in the APIMEC São Paulo meeting. This is important. These simultaneous events, from our point of view, are very important. This makes information more democratic, and we thus have a better dynamics, having all the facts and strategies thus shown to the market. As a result of this, I'd like to thank very much the participation in the forum, APIMEC São Paulo, with this contact. It's important to be here, seeing how the team is vibrant, the company, its strategy, and the results that the company believes it can reach. Looking, so it's good to be present. So for the capital markets, for a company with shares on the stock market, this type of contact, this type of presentation is fundamental, and it helps analysts. It is very important, as I said. So this, we have been doing this for the third consecutive year. In the past, Eucatex on many opportunities was with us at APIMEC. now for these in these three consecutive years, Ilkatex has enabled us to have this presentation. And thus, I would like to give to Akimek this award for the 3 years. And I believe we have a lot of work to do together. Thank you. Well, we'd like to begin the Q&A session. I'd like to make some announcements. First, reminding you, please wait for the microphone because we are recording this meeting and also we are transmitting. We want everyone to hear the questions and answers. A second announcement to those who will ask questions by telephone, please dial *1 if you want to remove the question, *2, and if the question is answered, the participant can leave the queue and with the other number 3. Okay, the Q&A session. Please say your name, your company. Good morning. Sergio from Seti Investments. Could you explain preferential shares and ordinary shares? How many shares are in the hands of controllers and how many are in the hands of the market? The controlling group, we have a traditional structure in terms of shares. We have a third of ordinary shares and two-thirds of preferentials. In the third of shares ordinary, the controller has 60%. The rest is in the hands of third parties, in the hands of the market. They are not part of the control group. And concerning preferential shares, the controller should have around 2 or 3%. The rest is in the market. One more announcement to those participating through webcast. If you are hearing in English, you can also ask questions in English through webcast. Good morning, Paulo Esteves from Gradual Investimentos. My question has to do with the EBITDA margin. With the HDF, MDF plant working at full capacity and maturity of the investments, is there a guidance, a goal in terms of EBITDA margin? Today it's 20%. How much can it reach? What is the goal for EBITDA margin? Normally, we don't give this type of information. What we can try to say is that we have an expectation to grow this margin. After all the structure of the company will continue the same. To use in a better way our, for example, in sales, we didn't hire new employees. So most of our structure is the same. Also in terms of the plants, this unit was installed within the complex we have in Salto. So it shared the infrastructure of the other plants. So, apart from this, as I said, last year we made many investments in finishing lines and we haven't begun to use them yet. So it's legitimate to imagine that we should have a growth in revenue, which will give us a better margin, and after that we should have variable commercial expenses will grow, but the other expenses should not grow. So we should have a better EBITDA. Now, in terms of percentages, We make these calculations internally, but we don't disclose them. Thank you. One more question. Imports. What are the segments that run the greatest risk in terms of products being imported? Competition from abroad. Paints, MDF. In which products do you have the risk of competition from imports? And what can you do to defend the domestic market? That's an interesting issue. In our meeting of the council on Monday, this was one of the topics. In general, the products that we manufacture are relatively immune to imports. In Brazil, we have very little importation of wood panels. We have, for example, some imports from Argentina, but it's 5% of the total. Paints, they're very difficult to import and export. That's one of the reasons why we are building the plant in Pernambuco. What we have suffered from imports is laminated flooring. Laminated flooring, the freight is not very expensive. They are high value added items. So flooring has competition from imports. So what has been happening in Brazil in flooring are legitimate imports from certain countries, but also some not very adequate practices. So our company, through the association, has taken measures to make the government discipline this market. Imported flooring is 20% of the market. That's where we suffer a little. In flooring, these come from independent importers, and they don't have technical support. They don't have accessories, because you need accessories. And normally, these imports come with no catalog. So the competition is based only on price, with very little service. Flooring is the only product where we have this threat from imports. Now we have a question by telephone. Guilherme? Good morning. You said that you will have a higher capacity in MDF in the fourth quarter. What are your expectations in terms of capacity during 2012? Are you expecting price increases? How will prices behave? Well, thank you for the question. The sound was a little bad, but if I understood, you asked about volume. Expectations concerning volume in our plants, whether we have expectation of higher volume in HDF. I would say yes, higher production of HDF. We have this expectation, as I said. We're now with a learning curve. In the fourth quarter, we had some problems. It is very high technology equipment, and we had some problems in the management of the machinery, but I see 2012 when we will really have much better results from this line. We will have a higher volume this year than last year. Now, in terms of price, expectations concerning price, I see a year of stability in price. Maybe some possibility of an increase in MDP boards, where the market has less offer. Maybe in thin boards in the middle of the year, we could have some higher prices. In terms of MDF, I don't see much possibility of changes in the prices. So in a nutshell, some expectations in MDP, maybe in the next 30 days an increase in prices. In 3 or 4 months, the thin boards may have a price increase and MDF stable. Now, concerning the HDF plants, what do you expect during 2012 in terms of capacity? You were close to 50% in the last quarter. During 2012, what can you talk about capacity usage? We have a program, and this was not in our tables, but we had an expectation of finishing 2011 with 60% usage. It was lower. In 2012, we want to reach 85%, which is almost full capacity. We continue with this plan. We're working for this, and we believe very much that during this year, we will leave 50% capacity and finish the year at 85% capacity. And we can see that there will be growth with this goal, with this beginning 50% and aiming at 85%. Good morning. Sandra Rodati from APIMEC Minas Gerais. Congratulations for the brilliant presentation. Could you speak a little more about this partnership with Tajima from Japan? What is the impact that you expect in terms of revenue with this new product, vinyl flooring, and what are the competitive edges of this product? Well, Sandra, thank you for the question. Let me see if I can answer all these points. But I also have our sales director that can help us. I can rely on him for some numbers, maybe. Okay, I will talk a little about the competitive edge of the flooring, vinyl flooring from Tajima from Japan. Then this is still in the beginning, and this is information that we don't disclose fully. The great competitive edge of this flooring, it is higher value. It is of higher value when compared to laminated flooring. It is immune to problems that laminated flooring has. It is immune to water and to moisture. It is immune to moisture. And so the vinylic flooring is very beautiful, but it's not wood. On the other hand, it's immune to moisture. These are floorings for usage in different places. Vinyl, where you have moisture, humidity, and the other for commercial activities. And so vinyl can be used in business and wood residential. As Paulo asked, we don't disclose too much information. This is the guidance we have. But just to supplement, to avoid you from being frustrated, today we have a share in laminated flooring, 40% market share. Vinyl, there's a domestic manufacturer, vinyl flooring, belonging to a foreign company. This manufacturer has local manufacturing. They also import flooring. This vinyl flooring is imported. Our expectation is to get close to 30-40% that we have in market share for laminated flooring. This is the challenge for our sales director who is with us here. Well, I would like to ask two questions as an analyst concerning the cost structure. I'd like to have an idea for this year and the next quarters. Do you believe it is possible to lower costs and in terms of some types of flooring? What can you improve in the cost area, in the many segments? Where do you think you have opportunity to lower costs? Cost has two aspects. One I mentioned, which is very important, the new line, of course, when we increase production, we will have an important dilution of costs. We have some more equipment that will be installed. Our variable costs will drop a lot in HDF. We have important equipment that will be installed in this first semester, reducing our costs. So in HDF, especially in HDF, we have these expectations. Now, concerning costs in general, in our planning, we don't see a strong increase in costs in 2012. We're even betting on lower costs of some raw materials. So in 2012, I don't believe we will have problems with cost of raw materials. What we have in Brazil still is the issue of some aspects that are indexed to the inflation. For example, labor has indexation, so this also, electricity is linked to contracts. We're consumers of energy. Our contracts also follow inflation indices, and also services that also have price increases due to the increases in the price of labor. We should have some pressure and cost, but the rest, raw materials and especially HDF, I believe we should have a very good year in terms of cost. I would like to mention also resin with the evolution of the price of raw materials, with the increase in the price of resin. What can we expect? Resin, not only us, but our competitors too, have mentioned resin as one of the villains of 2011. Truly, yes, it did have an impact, but in January, we had a drop in the price of resin. The price of resin dropped. So, with an expressive percentage, an important percentage drop. So, 2012 should have a better behavior in costs in relation to 2011. But it's difficult to make a forecast because resin is based on two commodities that have large volumes. Methanol, formol, it's obtained from methanol, and urea, which has a lot of demand in agriculture. So these are commodities used on a worldwide scale. It's difficult to make precise forecasts. Okay, my second question aimed at the society report. According to the position I saw on the website September 9th, we have foreign funds participating, bank funds, domestic funds, and the share composition is more diluted than it was in the past. You're on level one of governance. I believe you should have studied level two or Novo Mercado. I'd like to know how this is progressing in the company. Well, we understand this was one of the objectives of the creation of the different levels in the stock market. Adherence to these levels gives a positive perception on the part of investors in relation to our company. So we believe it's desirable for the company to go into this direction with more transparency. Well, we gave the first step, level one. We know there are another two steps that are possible in the stock market. We're studying that. There are many implications. You know that very well, but this is something that is always present in our council meetings and board meetings. The company has studied this issue in terms of how we can improve our governance levels. Novo Mercado is not that simple because it brings a change in the shareholder structure. As I mentioned, our structure is very traditional, one-third, two-thirds. The controller has 60% of ordinary shares, very little of preferential shares. So I said it's not simple, but it's desirable. Yes, we believe that this could give us a better perception on the part of the market concerning our company. Good morning, Chavez, from the Canadian consulate. In terms of R&D, research and development, I didn't see the numbers. Do you reinvest in research and development? Do you have a research and development center? What is the percentage of revenue that you invest in research and development on an annual basis? Well, I will talk about one of the things we do. I don't have the numbers here to give you. Maybe Sergio could have them. We invest, evidently, in many aspects. For example, we have strong investments in forest development, genetics. All our forests are planted with our own production. And there we have a lot of development of new species, not really species, but new clones of trees that could give us better characteristics than the current ones, with more resistant to drought. So we make strong investments in developing our forest products, the trees. Now, in terms of the plants, I would say that Eucatex is one of the most innovative companies in technology. We have technical indices. For example, if you compare our productivity, the size of our equipment, and the productivity per hour with any competitor in the domestic market, you'll be surprised with the productivity. We invest a lot in technological development, also in investments in research to increase product differentiation. We're the only company you will see outside. You will see many wood panels with shiny finishing. Many of these products are exclusive and the result of our development, research done outside the country, new machinery, new varnishes. So I don't have the numbers, but we invest a lot. This is our edge. We invest a lot in innovation, etc. Sorry, I don't have the numbers to give you. Do we have more questions, webcast, or from the audience? Well, before closing, I would like to make some announcements. The first, our questionnaire that you received together with the material. It's important that you fill out the questionnaire and return on your way out. Second, please visit our site, APIMEC, to see the next meetings. And I'd like to remind you that August 31st, we have our Congress, APIMEC National, coordinated by São Paulo, and we will have topics, Brazil in the long run, valuation, cost of capital is very important for all of you, and remind you to the analysts, so this meeting will give you half a point in the continued education program. I'd like to thank you, all the participants, my webcast, telephone, and those here to be with us. I'd like to thank Eucatex for giving us, enabling this meeting with the other directors. Thank you very much. So, José Antonio can close the meeting. Well, I'd like to thank the presence of all of you, those who also saw the presentation by webcast, were available. If you have any other questions, please get in touch with us. You have our contact information and through the site too, so we're available for further questions. Apart from that, I'd like to thank you and wish you all a very good day. Thank you.